Take your Bibles, if you would, please. Go to Isaiah chapter 6, please, in your Bibles tonight. Isaiah chapter 6, as we continue our series, Insights into Isaiah. This probably, Isaiah chapter 6, is one of the more notable of the chapters. And I don't know how many times I have preached this passage myself, that I've heard others preach this. And we're not going to get very far tonight. We're just going to get through about seven words tonight of this passage. And my goal is next Sunday night to consider the next several words. I saw also the Lord. That's what, five words. Next Sunday night. But I remember when my pastor in Ontario that he would come, he'd have his binder, and he'd have all his notes laid out, and he'd look, and then he'd come, and he'd pull a 3x5 card out, sometimes a 3x5 card out of his pocket, and he'd have about four lines written. These are my notes tonight. I said, you better pack your bags, it's going to be a long message tonight, because he would, on four lines, he would go, but Lord willing, we will consider this thought tonight. In the year that King Uzziah died, let me read just a couple of verses there. From verses 1 down through verse 4 as we begin. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another, and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Let's pray as we begin. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for these messages from Isaiah. And Lord, we thank you for using him in his time, in a difficult time. And thank you for his faithfulness in those days. Lord, as tonight as we look at a sad account of Uzziah, help us to be warned and help us to determine not to fall into the same error that he fell into, that we might finish well. We'll give you the praise for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, God uses earthly circumstances to turn our thoughts to him. God uses earthly circumstances to turn our thoughts to him. Someone has said, for the Christian, every bush is a burning bush and all ground is holy ground. And we all, every week, go through a lot of circumstances, and sometimes things happen and they don't really catch our attention very much. But sometimes there's something that stops our thoughts of the mundane and focuses us on things beyond ourselves. Wasn't that many years ago, the planes crashing the towers on 9/11. Many of you remember where you were when you heard the news. How many of you remember where you were when you heard the news about that? Now we're going back a little bit further. Brother Harper, maybe you and I are the only ones who remember this. John F. Kennedy was shot in Dallas. How many remember where you were when you heard John F. Kennedy was shot in Dallas? I remember. I was in the classroom, fifth grade. Brother Harper, he's a lot older than that. He was, I don't know, in medical school or something. He's so much older than I am. But I remember that. It stood out in my mind that, first of all, the teacher would leave the room and leave a bunch of fifth graders unsupervised for 20, 30 minutes at a time. That never happened in our school. But then they came in and told us, the principal did, godly man, Glenn Jager, one of my men who was instrumental in me being here tonight, is Glenn Jager. He's my school principal. He played the organ. He's one of the deacons in the church that I went to. Told us that President John F. Kennedy had been shot in Dallas and had died. I remember seeing later on the footage of Walter Cronkite. Most of the times when Walter Cronkite reported the news, he was a rock. But when he reported the news that John F. Kennedy had died in Dallas, Texas, he could not compose himself. He took off his glasses. And one of the things that you never do on television or radio, he paused and there was no sound. for a while as he considered the thought. Now, John F. Kennedy at that time was, of course, considered an icon, a hero. We know later on that John F. Kennedy had a lot of issues. But to a little boy in the fifth grade, he could do no wrong. I remember collecting all the newspapers, the Kalamazoo Gazette, all the newspapers that were published in that week afterwards. And my daughter Sharon has them. I think she does. I'm going to check when next time I get up there. Has all those newspapers from the 60s about the week of John F. Kennedy being shot. There's a book they published, The Torch Has Passed, about the changing. Things like that touch us. Things like that make us step back and pause and think. Not just about a president dying or a terrorist attack in North America. But it causes us, if we are honest with ourselves and with God, to reflect on some things about ourselves. When Isaiah began this book, we see it's kind of unusual, the layout of the book of Isaiah. Because if we go to Jeremiah, we see he begins with his call to the ministry. But Isaiah, we see five chapters. And then after five chapters, the Lord inspires him to tell us why he started writing. It's almost like that the prophecy was burning in his heart and his soul, and he had to get it down, and so he penned those first five chapters, and then the Lord said, well, stop just a minute. Let's give the people that you're writing to a bit of context about what's going on. And so he did. He said, in the year that King Uzziah died. The year was 759 BC. The northern kingdom was going to go into captivity in just about 30 years, 38 years, 721 BC. Judah would be going into captivity in 586 BC in just 135 years, not very long. Uzziah, go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 26. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. We come to the end of the records of the kings of Judah. Second Chronicles 26 and verse, well, let me start with verse 1. I'll read down through verse 5. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father, Amaziah. And he built Eloth and restored it to Judah. After that, the king slept with his fathers. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign. He reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Uzziah was a young man. We see he was 16 years old when he became king. He reigned for 52 years. If my math is right, he was 68 years old when he died. It's interesting, names are important. Uzziah's name means "my strength is Jehovah." Amaziah, his father, his name means "Jehovah is mighty." Jechaliah, his mother, "Jehovah is able." A heritage. And we see that a great preface to his ministry. Some thoughts from this passage that we understand God is the judge of what is right and wrong. Look at verse 4. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. I want you to think about this now. I am not the judge of what's right and wrong. You are not the judge of what's right and wrong. God is the judge. And this book dictates to us the principles, the precepts of what is right and what is wrong. And so God said that he did what was right according to all Amaziah, his fathers did. We find also that he had a man that was a godly influence on him by the name of Zechariah. Just like I mentioned earlier, Glenn Jager was a godly influence in my life. Others I can name raising up, being raised up, a pastor named Don Reeder. He's my pastor in my middle teen years. I hate to think all the things I did to that poor man as a teenager. Claire Hayward, a godly man, a mechanic, diesel mechanic, worked for Clark Equipment. A godly example. Put up with me through my whole teen years. And he's one of these men that he's passed away now, oh, probably 8 or 10 years, maybe not that long, but you know, he's just a man that was faithful, always there. It was the way it was with Zechariah. It seems that after Zechariah dies, there was not someone to influence Uzziah in a godly way. Because notice what it says, and he sought God in the days of Zechariah. It seems the thought is there that once Zechariah is gone, that no one stepped into Zechariah's place. Folks, God calls each one of us to be a Zechariah to somebody. Calls us to encourage them. Calls us to instruct. Calls us to have a place of Christian leadership to individuals. God calls us to do that. Fourth thought from that passage, Uzziah's prosperity was contingent on him seeking the Lord. Look at the last part of verse 5. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Now, prosperity is not what we think of, that he necessarily got wealthier. But to prosper as king, to prosper in the kingdom, to prosper personally. Look at some other passages. Let me just read them for you. Genesis 39, verse 3, we find that this is said of Joseph, and his master saw the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made him to prosper, made all he did to prosper in his hand. Moses charged Israel, Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 9, keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them, that ye may prosper in all that ye do. Keeping the word of God, doing the word of God brings prosperity. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. David charged Solomon, 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 3, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments, his judgments, his testimonies, as is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest. The prosperity of Uzziah. Uzziah prospered as long as this book guided his life. As the principles and precepts of this book guided his life. Now, he didn't have everything that we had. He had basically the first five books at the time. He had some of the Psalms and Proverbs were available because he was after David and Solomon. But he didn't have a quarter of what we have today. But God says, you pay attention to that. Think you go back to Joshua. Joshua had the first five books of the law, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. But he said, you listen to that, you obey that, and God will make you to prosper. And the only time the word success is used in the Bible is in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. And then thou shalt have good success. People wonder why they struggle. People wonder why they look and they say, where is the prosperity in my life? I'm not talking about money, but a joyful, loving, serving life for Jesus Christ. Where is the prosperity? We can go back, right back, most times, to our obedience to the Word of God. We find that while there was a great beginning to Uzziah's life, we find that there came a time when he rebelled. Verses 6, back in 2 Chronicles 26, verses 6, we won't read through those, but verses 6 down through verse 15 tell of the prosperity of Uzziah. We see over and over again how God blessed him and all the things and enemies that were conquered and lands that were taken and how God prospered him as king. But we find that verse 16, we find a drastic change. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense, go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. Then Uzziah was wroth, had a censer in his hand to burn incense, and while he was wroth with the priest, his leprosy rose up in his forehead, even forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord from beside the altar of incense, beside the incense altar. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hastened also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Uzziah rebelled against God. Isaiah was only 7 years old when that happened. A young man. You have to understand that Israel, while it was the southern kingdom of Judah, was a small community. This isn't something to be hidden from the community. So very soon, even down to a 7-year-old boy named Isaiah learned what had happened to King Uzziah. I'm sure just like as a little boy, I looked up to John F. Kennedy, the first president I remember being elected in the United States. He was a dashing young man. He's a hero in the South Pacific on the PT boats in World War II. Just a great story for a young man. I'm sure much of the same with Isaiah as he considered Uzziah. Uzziah lived 19 more years as a leper. The only king that Isaiah knew up to this time. Why don't you consider a thought? A couple thoughts. What happened? What happened to Uzziah? I think something that happens to a lot of individuals who come in a place of prominence and authority. His success and political power went to his head. But he had a common heart problem. What was that? Pride. He thought the rules no longer applied to him. His heart was lifted up because he was strong. We see the same thing is said of Satan in Isaiah, in Ezekiel 28, verse 17. It says, Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Belshazzar, in the book of Daniel, it tells that when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, Uzziah believed the rules no longer applied to him. he could go and burn incense. He was the king. He was the unquestioned authority in the nation. And Uzziah came to the place where he said, you know, the only thing I'm not allowed to do as king is go into the temple, into the inner, not just the inner court of the temple, but go into the temple proper, into the holy place. And there burn incense, and I should be allowed to do that because I'm the king. And I don't know if he woke up that morning intent on doing that or what happened, but we know that he went down, he found a censer that they put incense in, he put the incense in, he lit the incense, and he went to go into the holy place, passed through the court of the Gentiles, into the court of the women, and then from there into the going into the temple compound itself, into the holy place itself. We know it's very clear. I don't need to go back and prove to you from Scripture that only the sons of Levi, only the priests, were to enter into the holy place, and certainly only the priests were to offer incense in the holy place. It's one of these things that God said. Azariah the priest tried to correct Uzziah. He became angry and refused correction. It was then he became a leper. Consider, look at that back in 2 Chronicles 26. He started with verse 18. And they, this is the priests and 80, the high priest and 80 priests, withstood Uzziah the king, and said unto him, it is appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense, go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed. Neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. Now I think had we stopped right there, this is my opinion, this I don't scripture to prove this. Had Uzziah stopped there and said with David, I humbly now acknowledge my transgression. You're right. I sinned, I lifted up, I should not have come in here, put the censer down, turned around, and walked out of the holy place. I think God would have forgiven him. Because we see that the leprosy does not come until his next sin. Look at that. We go on to the next verse. Then Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense, and while he was wroth with the priests, the leprosy rose up in his forehead. Uzziah came to the place where he believed the rules didn't apply to him any longer. He could do what he wanted. I don't think when he was 16 years old and became king, he thought, you know what? A few years down the road, I'm going to throw everything in the wastebasket. I don't think he thought that. I don't know if he even thought of this a week before or a month before. I don't know if he woke up that morning saying, I'm going to go to the temple and I'm going to offer incense. I don't know when the decision came to rebel against God. But when he rebelled against God, when the priests of God, speaking the word of God, confronted him and he refused to acknowledge his sin, he refused to repent, he refused to leave, it was then we see that the leprosy came on him. Verse 21, and Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham his son was king over the king's house, judging the people of Israel. Uzziah thought to gain something for himself. He said, I'm strong. I can do what I want. I am the king. But in doing that, he lost everything. We see that he not only could no longer go in the holy place, but he couldn't even go into the temple courtyard to offer sacrifices there as he'd done in the past, because he was a leper. He was a leper. He couldn't even go into the king's palace itself. It says he dwelt in a several houses, like a cottage on the palace grounds, away from everyone. He no longer had people coming to him and seeking his advice and his wisdom and his decisions on matters. He no longer could make decisions of state like he had in the past. His son took over that responsibility. And his last years was spent in isolation, having lost everything he had, because he refused to obey the word of God. He became too strong, but now he was no longer strong. Isaiah writes the words in the year that King Uzziah died. I'm sure it was a year that struck the heart of Isaiah, the only king he'd known. Knew the tragedy of the king at age 7 and followed his progress, I'm sure, through those next 19 years. Isaiah was about 26 when he started writing. I'm sure it was a tragedy to Israel, the nation of Judah at that time. The kings died. Maybe in those years that he was a leper shut up in his several house, it kind of went to the back of their mind as Jotham continued on and he took over the affairs of state and things continued on. But then news spread. Uzziah has died. And it shook the nation of Judah to its core. And Isaiah said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. You see, tragedies will come. As tragedies come, they either will make us seek the Lord or seek our own wisdom, seek ourselves. Isaiah said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. I saw God's hand in it. I saw God's direction in it. And God has allowed me, in the year that King Uzziah died, to pen the words of this great book. I don't know everything that brought Uzziah's life to the place it was. But I know for us today, one of the things that's so easy to do is to be so busy about what we are doing that we neglect what we are. Do you understand the difference? We don't take time to be holy. We don't take time in the morning to read God's word. We don't focus on God. We don't allow God's word to come to our hearts and to our minds in the events of the day. We don't meditate on God's word. We don't memorize God's word. And then we wonder when a time of crisis comes, we fail. Take time to be holy. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, please. Heads bowed and eyes closed.